So good morning, Eastside family. We want to let our children, ages 2 years old through second grade, make their way in that direction to junior worship. And if you are a guest today and you have kids in that age range, we just follow the adults going that direction. Andy, you and I didn't coordinate when you were going to come up, so you just come right on up, and I'll be much more secure with you by my side up here. The rest of you guys who are standing here this morning, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 12. We're jumping ahead a little bit to Mark chapter 12. And as you're turning there, I want to encourage you, or want to remind you of a very important aspect of our worship to God, and that is the offering we bring. And one of the reasons we make the announcement each Sunday, it used to be in the old days before COVID, we would pass the trays, and somehow we, obviously during COVID, there were no passing of anything, and we just, when we came back together, we decided, you know what, it works well with the trays, let's just keep this tradition alive. And so I make the announcement each Sunday. You can mail a check for your, well, you can worship God with your offering, you mail a check to the church address, you can give an automatic draft through your bank, you can scan the QR code right there on the screen. It's incredibly easy. You can go online to our website. There's a box on the homepage that says give, and just follow the easy instructions there. Or if you're here in the auditorium, you can drop off your offering right there at the box at the welcome booth. Do you ever wonder like, well, once they get the money, what do they do with it? You should wonder. It's good to know. As a matter of fact, the shepherds, the leaders, the elders of this church body, they want you to know about the finances of this church. And so it's an annual rhythm that we have at about this time, the 1st of February, where we have a special service where we share with you that basically there's probably a better way of saying we share with you the budget, the finances of our church. And we have that interwoven with Scripture. And this is for the purpose of transparency. This is for the purpose of helping you to know, wow, this is what your offerings are going towards. And it's also just a reminder of this really important theme that we see throughout Scripture. So this morning, what's going to happen, Andy's joining me up here. I'm going to give a biblical foundation for the what we're going to be talking about. And Andy's going to say, okay, this is how it looks in real life of a church, in the real life of particular individuals. And so for this lesson today, we're currently in the book of Mark, and so we're supposed to be in chapter 4 today, but I needed a passage on this topic, and so I jumped ahead to chapter 12. As a matter of fact, if you were aware on Mondays, that's the reading guide that you were given on Monday to read Mark chapter 12, and then it's also the guide that has been given to you for your life groups. Now, just want to go ahead and acknowledge an elephant in the room. I guess I could call it that. In the understanding that there are some of you who have an adverse reaction. Well, I don't come to church to listen to a talk about money. This is so unspiritual. I thought the theme in Mark was about following Jesus. I thought it was about discipleship. To that thought, to that elephant in the room, I would draw your attention to many places in Scripture. Actually, Genesis to Revelation would be one start. But in the book of Mark, in Mark chapter 10, there's another very interesting story about money. There's this young man. He's typically called the rich young ruler. And he goes up to Jesus and he's got spiritual things, I guess you would say, spiritual things in mind. He says to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's pretty spiritual. And Jesus basically in that conversation says, "What must you do to inherit eternal life? Let's talk about what you're doing with your money." And in that conversation then, Jesus tells the man, "Sell everything you have, come and follow me." Come and follow me. That's the theme of Mark. It's about discipleship. So Jesus makes it clear. My money, my finances, my material possessions, and all that I do with those things, they're very much interwoven, very much integrated in my spiritual journey, in my walk of faith with Jesus. So I've chosen today for us to look at specifically a passage here in Mark chapter 12 where Jesus is in the temple, he's in their church building, and he's watching. Wouldn't it be amazing? You know, he's watching everybody. He knows what everybody's giving. And he draws attention to a precious elderly widow. And he says to the disciples, I want you to take, he draws our attention to her as well. And I believe his intention isn't to say, you see how she's given, you need to give like she's given. But it's her heart. It's her heart that he notices. It's a heart of a disciple of Jesus Christ. The widow's offering reflected her heart. Because you see, when we talk about what I do with my money, you know what we're really talking about? We're talking about what's important to me. Isn't that right? When we talk about what I do with my money, we're really talking about what I treasure in my heart. We're talking about really what is a priority to me. We're talking about what is really important to me. We're talking about where in the priorities of my life do I place God. So we're going to look at this widow because Jesus wants us to. And I've kind of worked it out like this. We're going to let her answer three questions, not simply about money. I'm using the word give, but it's really about ourselves. The three questions are, how should I give? Or how can I give? How much should I give? And why should I give? Let's look at it. Mark chapter 12, verse 31. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow, this is interesting, has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contribute out of their abundance, but she gave out of her poverty. But she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Okay, so the first question is, how can I give? And I don't mean it like, of the five different ways, do I do the QR code, do I follow the box on the website that you hear me say every time. It's more the tone of voice of, how can I give right now, considering all that I'm going through? It's just not a good time. I'm sorry to say, but I do have a default critical mode. Would look at this woman and say, well, a big mistake here. How irresponsible and how impractical of her. She can't afford to do this. It makes absolutely no practical sense, at least not right now due to her circumstances. She needs right now, if all she's got is two little coins to live on, she needs to hold on to those and she needs to live on those. Or if she's going to give, maybe give half of that, but goodness, don't give it all. It seems as though if there was anyone who had a reason not to give, this woman had a very good reason to say, you know what? I'm going to let everybody else take care of this right now. I don't know about you, but there's never a time where I'm just sitting around going, well, you know, I got so much extra that it's just a great, convenient time. This is a really good time for me to give. There's never a week in my life where there's not something that I need to put my money towards. Never. There's never, oh, we got this extra. What do we do with that today? I always have a good reason to say, not this week. And so there's a good time just to say, you know, right now it's just circumstances of my life. I'm just going to let other people kind of carry the responsibilities. I'll wait until later. How can I give? And the answer is, from this woman's heart, is trust. The question really is, how much do I trust God? Her heart, and that's what Jesus really sees beyond the two mites, is a heart of trust, a trust in God that she had and not a trust in her money. Regarding his earthly possessions, and most of you know this passage really well, regarding our earthly material possessions and our spiritual heavenly treasures, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, he says, you know, we worry and we stress over, how am I going to manage things? How am I going to have enough for this food? How am I going to have enough for these clothes? And Jesus says, look, here's the principle to live by. Just put me first. Just seek first my kingdom with all of your life, with all of you have. And I promise you, I will take care of you. Put me first in your life. And then there's a very similar passage in Malachi chapter 3. And this is where the prophet Malachi, God through the prophet, says to his people, bring me the full tithe into the storehouse. And he says, just do it. Just put me first. Just put me to the test. And just watch and see how I will. I like the NIV better than the ESV that I have here. He says, I will open the floodgates of heaven and I will bless you beyond measure. Just trust me. I will take care of you. This widow's offering reflected a heart of trust in God. And that's what got Jesus' attention. It wasn't, oh, look how what she's got. It's her heart that he saw. Then secondly, there's the question of, well, how much should I give? Should I follow the tithing principle of 10% of my income? Well, let's just follow the example of this widow. It says she put in, listen to this, she put in everything. Just let your mind go down that path. She put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And at this point, you might back up and say, Jesus, like, really, you're exploiting the elderly. How cruel it is to point out this story, to manipulate elderly people living on a fixed Social Security income to give up all that they have. But again, Jesus is not honing in on the dollar amount, but it's on her heart. A heart of full surrender. You know, I told you last week in the previous lessons, when you're reading through a book in the Bible, and especially in Mark, you notice all these repetitive words and phrases, and if God's repeating something again and again and again, he's trying to make a point. So the word amazing comes up again and again in the book of Mark. The word immediately comes up again and again. The word crowd comes up again and again. But you also want to notice how often the word all. It's all throughout the Gospel of Mark. And especially in this context, earlier, before the story of this widow, somebody says to Jesus, so what's the greatest command? And Jesus says, love the Lord your God. All is mentioned four times, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And Jesus is quoting what is from Deuteronomy chapter 6 that is known by the Jewish people as the Shema. And I have it in the King James. I need a word from the King James, so I grabbed that one. It's convenient, where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So Jesus mentions this in Mark chapter 12. And then he says, you know what that looks like in real life? It's that woman right there. It's a heart of loving God with all of her heart through the offering that is reflected through her offering. Anybody can quote the Shema, but living it, this woman lived it. Actually, you could literally say she put her money where her mouth is. Now, some of you may be saying, Eddie, your spelling is miserable. It's the widow's mite, M-I-T-E. That's the two coins that it's talking about there. Actually, no, I intend for it to be M-I-G-H-T. That it's not about the coins. It's about her heart. It's about the mite of her heart. When she came to worship God, by her offering, quietly, she was saying, I love you with all my might, all of my heart, with all of my soul. All that I am and all that I have is yours. You see, God doesn't want some of my money. He doesn't want some of your money or our money. He wants us. And he wants all of us. And her offering was a representation of her offering of her two mites, was an offering of her life. It was a heart of full surrender. And then finally, this widow answers this question, why should I even give? And I can think of this in a couple of different ways. First of all, it's like, if you got two pennies, why even put them in? Because I really, like, what are we going to do here with two pennies? What does that really matter? What difference is that really going to make? But there's a heart of faith in what she believed God could do with that. And you back up earlier six chapters to chapter 6, we know this incredible story of this very small and, quote, insignificant gift of, how many was it, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took that, why even use that? He multiplied it and met the needs of, fed more than 5,000 and plus people. Why should I give? It's a heart of faith. But there's something really interesting when you look at the larger context of this story that helps us see how this woman answers this story. You always want to follow what's called the flow of thought. And in the flow of thought or the context, he's got this story of this widow. But before this story of this widow, he has, and I want to read exactly as I wrote it down. He speaks of these upstanding, Bible-believing, church-going preachers. And they put on these religious shows of their titles, of their prestigious roles, their religious shows, of their fancy prayers and their fancy clothing. But he says they devour widows. They destroy them. They were exploiting their poor, living lavishly off of the offerings of the poor who were sacrificially given. For example, the widows. And then Jesus says, speaking of widows, let me tell you about this woman who's putting her all that she has into the temple treasury. Speaking of the temple, then he goes into chapter 13. He says to his disciples, you see these stones of these temples? It's all going to be destroyed. And that was actually about 37 years from when Jesus spoke those words. And so it's really fair to say, well, then why should she give? Why give to a religious system that you can't even trust to manage the finances? As a matter of fact, it's not that you can't trust them, that you know they're corrupt with the money. And why give into the temple treasury for money that's going to go towards the building funds and the maintenance when this building's getting ready to be destroyed? Stop her. She's wasting her money. But to the contrary, isn't it interesting? Jesus commended her for her giving because he's looking into her heart. He's looking into her heart of full surrender. It wasn't an irresponsible waste of money because it was more about her heart of worship and her expression of love and devotion to God than what was going to be done with the money. It's not that what's going to be done with the money is not important. It's not that we shouldn't ask, well, how are these funds being used? But it's about a heart of worship that we see in this woman that loved and devoted herself fully to God. That's what God desires from our lives. That's what caught Jesus' attention on this day. And so I bring that up because in the church world, not necessarily in this church, maybe there are some in this church, there are some who have a skeptical distrust of what churches do and what leaders do with the money. And then there are also, and honestly, there are some churches and church leaders who deserve that criticism. They've earned that. And then there's also complaints that are made, like, you're giving money to a building, you're giving money to an old building like this. We need to be thinking about and we need to be caring about people. And so because of that, it's important for us, for the sake of transparency, to say, hey, we want to tell you where this money goes, rather than just trust us. We want to show you and help you understand how this building is being used for people and God's eternal purpose. So that's where I bridge over to Andy. And he's here mostly because he's one of our shepherds and also currently on the governance council. So it's prime for him to share with us this morning. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Eddie. And as always, thank you for the message and tying it into scripture. I'm thinking here, I wasn't sure I was going to be able to sit through this part of the presentation. Kind of feel like the first and second graders that Kelly and I were teaching this morning, but not because you weren't attentive and you caught our attention. It's because I just really couldn't wait to say thank you to our family here. Just a huge thanks to everybody stepping up and giving of yourselves over the last year. I've been made aware of a lot of different opportunities that have been available over the past year, and in such a big way how we've stepped up and met the call. And I'd like to start off by giving a thanks to our finance committee. So that would include Brett Kusky, Spencer Strausser, and Sarah Gwynn. And just the dedication they have shown in helping us to make sure that we manage and put the funds to good use throughout the years. But with that, we also do have a need, and so as a plug for, I know Spencer and Brett will be stepping down from their roles in this upcoming year. We do have a need, so if you feel called or if you have a talent to serve on the finance committee, to let one of us know. Sarah, I think, would be the best person to let her know that you're interested. And so to continue on the great work, just really can't say thanks enough to the finance committee, as well as the governance council. This past year, I joined the governance council and got to see a lot of the work and the good work that they've done in managing our budget. And so a big thanks to our governance council as well, as we prepare this upcoming year's budget. Now, Eddie, usually, I know when we talk about the budget and share this information with our church family, there tends to be sometimes a theme of desperation. But I am glad to say and sit here before you this morning to tell you that this is really more of a theme of celebration, a celebration of what God has done for us here at Eastside. But not just the celebration, but also the appreciation for our congregation's generosity and generous giving over the past year and in several years. Not only did our congregation provide the financial needs that we need to have as a church, but also with their time and with their prayers. So just a huge thank you to all of you for your giving. The funds that we receive, you know, are put to a lot of good things, Eddie. And so I thought maybe you could highlight a few of the things that you see.
Certainly. So it's a little bit from last year. First of all, it's like Andy and I talked about, this is really awesome. Typically, it's supposed to be desperation. The sky is falling. That's, if you do a finance report with the church, that's what you're supposed to say. But we thought, we don't have that message. We really don't. As we looked at last year, it's just like, wow, celebration and appreciation. And we don't have time to tell you everything, but we will tell you this, that last year, when we looked at the numbers from last year, our expenses were lower than our donations. You guys gave more than we needed. I've been doing church world for a long time. I've never heard that before, I don't think. That's absolutely incredible. How did that happen? Well, we just celebrate and we praise God for that, but we also thank God for those who have been put in position to give good, wise stewardship of our funds and just an appreciation for your incredible generosity. I sat at this table last year. Tim sat right here, another one of our shepherds, and says, we are calling you to a higher budget this year, and we really, if we're going to meet that, we got to increase our giving by this percentage, and you guys didn't do that. You went beyond that percentage. That's incredible. That's a celebration. That's an appreciation that we have for you. So much so that now that portion of money that we have extra, we put into what's called a reserve fund, because there are emergencies that happen with people. There are emergencies that happen with this building, and we're not going to be scrambling to try to figure out what we're going to do. And as I was on the governance council, and I said to everybody, hey, I'm going to be sitting up here doing this. What do y'all think I should say? And then Steve said on the council, he says, Eddie, it's not just about what people have been giving, but just tell them how much we appreciate the giving of themselves. Just a group of you for our Native American ministry on a Saturday when you've been working all week came up here and you gave your time to to put together all these bicycles that could be taken to the reservation that just made the day of made the year for all these children that are impoverished that living on the reservation. Yesterday we had a daddy daughter ball with over 100. We set a record for how many people came to it, and most of them weren't Eastside members. There were people from our school, which is our biggest ministry, and we had so many members from Eastside who came and set up, who came and served doing it, and who came and cleaned up afterwards. There's just so many activities that my observation, you know, they have the 80-20 rule that like 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I don't think that's true here. I see so many of you, I don't see how much you're giving, and I'm not looking at those details, trust me, but I see what you're doing. I see how you're serving. Alice and Solomon and Bob Solomon are working on the buildings and grounds, and Alice's sister, Carol, she's basically their supervisor. Isn't that right, Carol? And Alice and Bob need the supervision. Tom Kemp is not in here right now because I don't think he is, because he's volunteering his time to make sure we're safe with our security team. And everything that turns on or that's working in this building by the maintenance is because of Jacob's assistant that's working with him, who is Tom Kemp. There are just tons and tons of examples of what I have seen over the past year of your financial giving, but hearts that have been giving of your service to God and His kingdom. So last year, it's incredible. But then we're looking to this year.
Yeah, so for this year, we are able to increase our budget in 2026. As you heard from Joe, that we are looking for a new hiree for our worship minister. And so
I didn't hear that.
Our worship minister, it's not
to you. Oh, good. Good.
That's coming. And as you know, we are still collecting your inputs for the worship minister, and hopefully over the next month or two, we will be actively interviewing and coming to a solution to having that position filled. And so we know God is going to bless us in that endeavor. But also, as we anticipate Eddie and Karen leaving us, we are going to be searching for a new senior minister, sadly, but that is something that we have incurred and into our budget and are planning for accordingly.
So his point is the increased budget is my fault.
However you'd like to interpret that, but sadly, yeah.
Because we got to bring somebody in. We got to pay for them to move here. If Karen and I wouldn't, but Eddie and Karen leaving, oh well. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's the fortunate thing. Fortunately, we do have that in our budget to do so. But also, we've been able to increase the cost of living expenses for our ministry staff. And so that's a long overdue thing that I'm glad that we are able to increase our budget to provide that. So yes, thank you. Thank you. Another big point to celebrate. I think I came in at a good year to be able to do this, but if we go back 10 years, we had a debt of over $1.5 million on this building. Well, I'm glad to say that today our mortgage stands at $350,000 and hoped to have this paid off in the next 5 or 6 years. So that's another point of celebration.
Amen.
as a response to your giving. So we know with God and His favor, we will be in a much better situation in the years to come financially. So thank you for your giving to our body here. And so that's really, really good news I wanted to share with you. But also, a lot of praise goes to our financial committee and our governance council to making sure that we do have a balanced budget and that we are good stewards of the funds that we're blessed with. Another thing, another big celebration is PPCS, one of our main outreaches and ministries here. First of all, if you're not aware, PPCS does cover all of its administrative and school expenses. PPCS covers 57% of the mortgage expenses that we have, and each year PPCS continues to increase its amount of cost sharing of building repairs and maintenance. And as it's been alluded to earlier, we do have some needs periodically, so it's nice to have that partnership with PPCS. Now, Eddie, I know you're here on a regular basis, and you get to see firsthandedly a lot of the great things that happen, not just here at Eastside, but also during the school day with PPCS.
Certainly. When we say PPCS, Pikes Peak Christian School. So if you're new here, and I've seen some people, I've never seen you before, so I'm assuming you're here for the first time. You look around, there's more than a church here. There's also a school here. And it's an incredible ministry of this church. We right now have an enrollment of about 375 students. And one of the things I love about this school is that most of the Christian schools that make you do a faith-based document, you sign, I'm a Christian and I promise I believe this, this, and this. We don't do that because we want unbelievers coming here. We want them exposed to godly teaching and Christian principles. And so we have a lot of people that are coming here unchurched, and that's an incredible ministry. I love coming here in the mornings. My office is over here. I walk into my office, and right down the hallway every morning, when I'm coming in the mornings, I'm seeing two of these chairs with two teachers sitting in it. And they've got 20 to 30 little kids, and they're singing Christian songs with the kids, and they're teaching them songs about Jesus, and the lights are on because somebody paid for that. The carpet's clean so they can sit on the floor. The building's warm or the building's cool because HVACs were repaired and because the utility bills are being covered. These things that are all about a building, there's just incredible. And I've said this once, I've said it, and I can't, how many times I've said it before, I dare anyone to show me a church building that is open and used more than this one because of our church activities, because of our school activities, and because of all the other organizations. There are incredible things here that are going on. Kevin and I have the opportunity right here to teach Christ to chapel. I'm going through an apologetic series with our middle school students right now. Kevin has tons of kids coming into his office, getting to know him, and I do too, on a regular basis. We're pouring our hearts and lives into these kids, and we're just seeing them a little bit. We've got a huge staff of teachers who are godly Christians, who aren't just teaching science and English or in biology or whatever, PE, but they're incorporating Jesus into the teaching. It's just an absolutely incredible school. And so some of what we do contribute goes towards this building while PPCS covers its responsibilities. I am just delighted to know that a portion of what I give is making a difference. The kids get to hear about Jesus on that floor every morning. And then you go outside of this building, and then we have all kinds of ministries, such as Mercy's Gate.
Yeah, so Mercy's Gate has been an outreach that we've been incredibly supportive of in this community outreach program. But I also know that we've been highly involved with other outreaches and ministries, both global and local, and other programs such as family care, just to name a few. And now, Eddie, I know you can tell us a little bit more about our giving to some of these groups.
Yeah, I told Andy, it's like, I'll do my part, you do your part, and you better not include me or this is going to go on forever, because you just know me. But the problem is, there's so many things to celebrate, so many things, as you can tell by my spirit right now, that I'm excited about. It's hard not to just to thank God for it. First of all, they're not here today, but Brian and Bonnie Bassham really are our incredible servants, liaisons to Mercy's Gate. Mercy's Gate is a community outreach program that is helping the poor and the broken in our community. And so we're just partnering with them. And so every time you put money into the offering plate, we are sending money monthly to Mercy's Gate to care for people. And then on top of that, as you know, you hear me talk about Mercy's Gate a whole lot. As you know, we have every year our annual harvest offering during Thanksgiving. And we raise money to keep people in their homes over the holidays. And we bring bags of food and we pray over those and give them to individuals. I'm very privy to a lot of the information at Mercy's Gate. And I'm telling you, of the more than 50-something partner churches, I'm almost certain this church contributed more than all of those other partner churches. You donated over $17,000, a smaller church like this. And people stayed in their homes over the holidays because of that. Most churches that I'm aware of that were partnering Mercy's Gate to give food for Thanksgiving were taking 5, 10, 15 families. Our church took 75 families and made a difference. 75! That's incredible. And then there's boots on the ground. Once a month on Monday nights, numbers of you, different life groups, are there feeding, giving food to people that are coming, providing a warm meal. And some of you are sitting at tables praying with those broken and hurting people. So it's not just food that you've given or money that you've given, but you're giving of yourselves. And then he mentioned our global missionaries. I don't even have time to completely go into that. But did you read Nathan Holland's book? Wow, what an incredible description of the amazing work God is doing through him. And right now, one of the most recent things that's thrilling me is the way God is using his team and his ministry in Africa to bring these Luso African countries that are Portuguese speaking and the churches that are there that have been on their own, separated all throughout the geographical area of Africa, and uniting them to make them a stronger and greater force. It's an incredible ministry. And then we also have our outreach in Guatemala that the Dunhams have been doing with the medical mission that partners with a church mission that is making a huge difference. And then we have our short-term missions. We have a coffee cart. You guys are donating regularly with your tithes and offerings for these long-term mission projects, but you're through the coffee cart, we're sending people to Zambia. We're sending people to an orphan home in Mexico, and we're sending people to South Dakota to an incredible ministry with the poorest, most impoverished county in the nation there in South Dakota. Then we have our women's ministry and our men's ministry. They have budgets that you're funding to help those ministries. We have our children's ministry. Last night, we fed over 100 people because you bought the food for these dads to be with their daughters and have a memorable night to learn that you can be a Christian and dance. Did I say that? Because I was taught the opposite of that. And have fun and run and have a good time. We made that happen. God through you made that happen. We have classes, if your kids are not a part of that, with curriculum that Taylor writes and that things that she purchases, that is because you funded it. We had the most phenomenal vacation Bible school with a lot of unchurched kids here. This was turned into a world, a totally different world for vacation Bible school, with tons of volunteer workers giving of their time and a lot of things that we had to purchase because you made a difference for that. In our youth ministry, we have kids who can't afford to go in a lot of activities. You provided money for scholarships for these kids to participate in those activities. And then with our family care, it's like, I don't even know, I got to restrict myself, but we had a budget for family care, and we said, let's do more than that. Let's just have a special contribution, and let's hope to get this much, and you gave this much. And so I've been watching just so many members in this church family that have been hurting and going through tough times, and you've been taking care and meeting their needs. Here's my point. You're the widow. Do you connect? Do you see what I'm saying? You're the widow. The heart of this widow is the hearts of these church of our church family, hearts of sacrifice, hearts of love, hearts of generosity, hearts of trust, hearts of faith, and hearts of full surrender. Church, we have something to celebrate and be thankful for.
Well, thanks, Eddie. Those are some excellent points of how our church has been so giving and just so appreciative of your giving. So in summary, as we reflect on this past year and prepare for the next year, as we consider the budget and finances, there's really a lot to be proud of and to be thankful for. Once again, as part of the financial committee and governance council, the elders and the staff, we are mostly aware of these accomplishments, but we feel that it's very important to share these with you as the body, to be as transparent about our spending as we possibly can. So on behalf of the shepherds and the staff and the governance council and the finance committee, I would like to thank everyone for your giving and your helping at Eastside, giving of your time and of your prayers that helps us to become that beacon on the hill And I personally am just so thankful that I can be up here this morning to share these really victories that we have experienced here at Eastside over the past year, and look forward to continue God's work in the future.
So we just want to say, as we close, if you misunderstood something or I didn't get that, I didn't understand that, talk to us. We want to be open and transparent. Talk to our shepherds, talk to our finance committee, talk to our people on our governance council. And on that welcome booth table back there, there are some copies of our Eastside budget. If you want to, we decided not to put it on the screen. Here's our Excel spreadsheet. Like, how boring could that be? But it's back there if you want to see the details. And if those run out, let us know and we'll send more of them to you. So there's back to the widow, and then we're going to close. She helps us answer those three questions we saw earlier. How can I give? How much should I give? Why should I give? And she answers the questions of what does it really mean? That's Mark. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And she shows us what it means to follow Jesus by a heart of sacrifice. Because listen, that story of the widow, you look in the text in Mark, that's in the final week of Jesus. They call it the Passion Week. The event of her story joins with all these other events that are pointing towards Jesus and his sacrifice, and him coming to this earth and giving up literally all that he had to live on for us. And so really, really, the moral of the story isn't be like this widow. The moral of the story is follow Jesus, as this woman followed Jesus, in sacrificially offering our lives to God, fully surrendering ourselves to him with trust and with faith, as he did for us. That's what it means to follow Jesus. This is God's word to us today. Would you stand and let's close with a prayer. Father, we don't want you here. We want you to hear thank you, thank you, thank you. We celebrate you. We praise you for the work that you've been doing among our church family to create hearts of followers of Jesus, to create in us your heart, a heart of love, a heart of sacrifice, a heart of generosity. And we thank you, Father, how as we look to the past year, how you have taken all that we are and all that we have offered to you, and you've multiplied it and just done miraculous things here in this city and throughout the world. And so, Father, as we look to this new year, this year that we're already in now, I guess I should say, we offer ourselves to you. We give to you our lives, and may at the end of this year, we celebrate in an even greater way all that you've done among us. It is our honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.